not going to end well. So all things go in his hands. Don't get frustrated if the answer is no, because it obviously wasn't going to be good for me for some reason.
Right.
And he's given me a couple of things I wanted. That was terrible. Terrible. And I look back on that and I go, oh, yeah, I prayed I wanted that. And boy, was that foolish. Now I just pray, what's your will for me? Because yours is better. I'm just going to listen to you. I don't have any wisdom. I don't have any knowledge. I'm going with your choice, whatever it is.
Right. That's the safest way. You know, but
safe is fine for me right now. I need as little mess as possible. He's permitting plenty of little messes anyway. I don't need to add to them.
Right.
You know, for offering. So, but I think a lot of this. You're making me realize that I think a lot of this is about teaching us about how to handle the seeds. These little frustrations and irritations, they're not just offering. They're the key to our getting all these seeds throughout the day. And he's telling us how to manage those moments and how to manage the seed moments so that we're no longer letting our bodies be poisoned by these things that we were either unaware of or didn't think they were that important. I know somebody said, well, last night I was talking, I'll do it later, he says, and, you know, it didn't end up happening, and I don't remember what the issue was, but there was something health-related that was complicated with him, too, and he didn't really notice because it was a chronic thing. It was a little better, a little worse, a little better, but it's always worse when the seeds are there. And when we delay, he's kind of saying, no, I said, don't delay, because that's actually going to cause a problem. Please, my children, I'm telling you, for your own good, you can do it. There's always free will, but there are consequences.
Yeah.
So it's always our choice.
But I'm beginning to realize when I'm getting rid of stuff, you know, and I didn't at first.
Uh-huh.
So I guess what I'm saying is to be patient. You know, for people who haven't been initiated in this yet, and I'm just barely initiated into it, be patient and pay attention, get sensitive. You know, this is one reason why the Lord doesn't want us in the media, because it's constantly desensitizing us to the finer communication bands, you know, because it's so gross. It's so intense.
Yeah.
It's so loud, fast moving, and it trains your mind to gloss over a lot of things. But when you're quiet and still, and there's no TV going, no music going, or no anything going on, you can really, you begin to slow down, your mind slows down, and you can tune into the finer wavelengths, you know, which is where the Lord's voice is, and the spiritual realm, you know, the spiritual realm, which is made up of demons and angels, you know? That's where our discernment comes in, so.
I think I had 10 curses yesterday. I'm not exaggerating. They curse me like 10 times a day. And so the Lord and I get to spend time together. He removes my curses. I do a lot of hacking, and,
well, that was
one other
thing I wanted to mention, and I wanted to ask you about. I was under the impression that the curses couldn't land unless there was an open door. Well, they hover. They hover and then... Go ahead.
Sometimes my impression of this is some can't land. Some can land, but they don't activate. They need like a primer switch. Or I'm not sure if they need it or they wait for it so that... Oh, I think this is it, because Holy Spirit's confirming this. They wait for an opening that goes along with what they do so that you don't realize you've been cursed. You just think this is your response this day to something that made you upset. But you go rapidly from upset into utter desolation, despair, and whatnot. But they take you through a series of emotions so that you just think, oh, well, I'm upset about this. It's really getting to me today. You don't think, oh, I've been cursed, and I have to go check into that so they think they're safer, that you're not going to get rid of them. If we have, let's say it's a curse of infirmity, they wait till you hurt yourself. You bumped your toe or something like that. like that. Let's say it's a curse of desolation, despair, heart sickness, and heartbreak. They start with a little sadness. You got some news. And then they quickly go with that and bring you along until suddenly you haven't really realized over a day. You're crushed. You're heartbroken. You can't even move. You don't even care. You just are so sad. And it seems like it's over this thing, but they're very crafty and they know us well and they know what kinds of things hurt us, that we feel hurt in our hearts, and they wait for those moments.
Right.
So it could be 2 days, could be 3 days, but when it happens, you're less likely to recognize that it's a curse and more likely to think, well, maybe it's a demon of sadness or whatever, but you don't get the whole thing, so you don't break the curse and you don't get rid of the demon attached to the curse. So they'll just start again later. It's kind of like a, you know, warfare tactic.
Right.
That's the impression that's being confirmed.
Well, that's kind of, partially what I thought. I just wanted to ask you real quick.
Well, others can't alight. You're absolutely right. Others can't alight at all. They wait for us to make an error that opens that possibility. And others, a lot of them, they can land. We have done something, but they don't want to be found. So they wait patiently, because there's always a moment when whatever feeling they're associated with most, or whatever issue they're associated with most, comes up, and then they can do it with more freedom without you realizing it's a curse, and perhaps not just a demon. So if you get rid of a demon, the rest of the curse is still there.
So the demons come with the curses.
Every demon has a curse. Every door has every curse has a demon. Every door has a demon. Every energy block or barrier has a demon connected to it. So the curse has to be broken and removed. And literally, I hear the Lord saying, "And I break this." And he uses the word break. And sometimes I hear like chains, a chain breaking, a clink. And then he always takes, and I take the demon connected with. And sometimes the demon is specific. I get a specific impression. It's the demon of desolation. The demon of infirmity. But sometimes I don't, and it's just the demon in charge of that whole thing and keeping it going. Very much like a stronghold. The stronghold has a strong man demon. These guys all have a demon attached to. So everything has to go for it to go.
But the Lord takes care of
that's
that.
That's why they're so sneaky.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
but he's showing us.
Yeah.
He's showing us.
Where did you say you were practicing medicine before? Because I've got to talk to my doctor tomorrow. Yeah, but where was...
New York.
It was some kind of institute or something. What did you say it was?
I was in private practice, but before then I was Mount Sinai and then Memorial Sloan Kettering and...
Sloan Kettering. That's what I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was remembering. Okay.
That's where I did...
Wow.
And then...
I'm going to tell him that, just, you know. And the other doctor that Ezekiel is seeing, because you had mentioned that hyperinsulinemia could be the reason why he starts to freak out. You know, he gets angry.
They send demons of hyperinsulinemia, too much insulin, so that when you banish the demon of low blood sugar, nothing really happens, because that's...
Right.
The problem is the body's making too much insulin, but... In terms of how active or noticeable that would be to a physician at any time, my guess is, this is what happened to me about something else, every time I went to get tested, and this is before the Lord came to me, the problem disappeared completely. Like right before, here's the test, no problem. Everything was back to normal. I'd leave within a day, it would start again. They would just hide it from them. So it was a little frustrating, and it was before I understood that everything I learned in medical school was really wrong, and there was an entire realm of how this body, mind, soul, spirit, heart worked that we just missed the boat on completely. We didn't even address two-thirds of it. So,
that might be the case when we say that, you know, when the patient's sick, the doctor's not there, or You know, you take your car into a mechanic and there's no problem. You go back out and there's the problem again.
Right.
So it's actually a demon that's causing the problem, and they lay low. Wow. Yeah. They lay low when they're with the mechanic.
Not that, you know, I don't think most doctors could not remove it, but
right.
Why give anybody any ideas about looking into it? Because, goodness, you know, a Bible-believing Christian could be somewhere, and we don't need to be noticed. So, they hide. It's very annoying. Every time you go to the doctor, you feel fine 5 minutes before he or she walks in the door. And, you know, you're absolutely right, because how many years did I deal with that from both sides, as patient and physician? And that happened all the time, unless something was really grossly changed in the flesh. And even bleeding would stop, infection would suddenly look a little better. It was just, now it makes perfect sense to me. Thank you. You're absolutely right.
Wow.
Very sneaky. Most physicians won't believe this, but you'll get a spiritual one, if not a religious one, but one who believes that there is at least more controlling the state of our emotional, spiritual, physical health, mental health as well, than just what little they know. Those are the ones who are humbler and at least say, the more I study, the less I know how anything works. Then we have the other group that say, I am God, quite literally, I am God. And I've heard some. A neurosurgeon was the last one I heard, said, I am God. A heart surgeon says, and I held the heart in my hand. You know, I was God at that moment. And I'm thinking, well, God might have been in you using your hands, but no, you and he, I'm learning, are really far apart. You know, it is what it is. But
yeah.
If they don't have eyes to hear, eyes to see and ears to hear, it just goes right through. But you never know.
Well, I think
anyway,
medical school, you're pretty much ostracized. From what I understand, I've never been to medical school, but from what I understand, if you have any supernatural diagnostic bents in you, you're laughed to scorn and you won't get a license, you know?
Well, the interesting thing was I was known at the time, I was known at the time for being able to come up with the most obscure, strange diagnoses. I had a mind for the weird, and, you know, you could, I would look at something and say, you know, I saw that picture in a book 10 years ago. I think this is, you know, shnunnunnun disease.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that people would just drop and go, how does she know that? I have no idea, but I'm sure it was the Lord because I'm not that smart. But he gave me certain gifts in medicine, and I used to get laughed at when, as an intern, I would walk around to the intensive care units, and I would just hold the hands of the comatose patients. And I would talk to them, and, you know, I would just, you know, introduce myself, and they're just like, oh, she's just, well, cuckoo, this one. and they would say, they can't even hear you. And I said, well, you know, I had brain surgery a few years ago, and I heard everything. I was too sick to move, but I remember talking about boyfriends over me. I mean, they talked all the time. I was awake. I was alert. I just couldn't talk. So you never know what anyone can hear. And I just wanted them to know that not every touch was a needle and that I knew they weren't meat in a bandage, that there was a person there.
Wow.
And I think he started working on me even then. Because I got laughed at a lot, but I still did it. You know, he had something in store for me later. He's amazing.
That concludes our interview with Dr. Sherry Steinhoff in New York. Lord, help us to understand that you've given us these things to use and that we can do this. Help us to really absorb the wisdom that you've given Sherry to share with us and to put it to use and to practice every day. And just to let you know, heart dwellers, it takes a while to connect and really begin to sense Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts and drawing attention to those things that are in our heart, but it is so worth the effort. If I had been taught this in my early Christianity, it would have been amazing, really amazing. Because I had no idea how I was sabotaging myself every day just by my thoughts. You know, people talk about that, about what you think and the power of words. But to understand the dynamic behind it and how it invites the enemy in, wow, that's just a really, really choice piece of information. And it's meant for us to put it to work. So I ask you, Lord, please help us to assimilate this and to start practicing it. Amen.